Okay, if you would be seated, we're going to have about a 20-minute or so, very quick and brief Bible study. We do have a new card that, at least a new card for some of you. It's an old card for those who were here 10 years ago, and so it's just one card that you need tonight, but it is a different kind of card. It kind of folds out, and so, guys, if you'll make sure everybody, here, Trey, let me give you some more of those. If you'll make sure everybody gets one of these, Jonathan. All right, Connor. You get the biggest stack because I know you can handle it. Okay, as those are coming around, and as soon as you get those, I'll kind of reference those with you so that you know what you're looking at. Obviously, it's pretty obvious what you are looking at, but hopefully it'll be something helpful for you. Let me ask you something as you start as those start to go around, just to make sure we're all together. What is the book of First Samuel about? In our general summation, book of First Samuel is about who? King Saul. And you've got David, and you've got stories about David. But First Samuel is summarized in our study as a study of King Saul, first king of Israel. Second Samuel is about who? David, King David. Not to say he's not in the First Samuel, but the way the Jews divided it was First Samuel was about the first king, Second Samuel is about the second king is David. 1 Kings is about what? Solomon, first half, and then what? The divided kingdom. So in 1 Kings is actually, you can divide it right in half. I think it's got 22 chapters. So you got the first 11 chapters, King Solomon. Last 11 chapters, the divided kingdom. So you get to 2 Kings. If 1 Kings is about the first king, or 1 Samuel is about the first king, 2 Samuel is about the second king, 1 Kings is 3 Kings, is about the third king. What's 2 Kings about? Is that on? I believe that's on your prophet card. If you've got your other cards, with you tonight, I believe on your prophet card it says 2 Kings tells about what? That's the end of 2 Samuel and the beginning of 1 Kings. You read about the death of David. 2 Kings tells us about the fall of the northern and the southern kingdom. 1 Kings, they're divided. They remain divided into 2 Kings, but then you read about the fall of the northern kingdom and the fall of the southern kingdom. Did they fall at the same time? No. Were they divided at the same time? That's a weird question, but yes. They were divided at the same time, but they didn't fall at the same time. Now, anybody not have one of the new cards? I think everybody's kind of, Novell and Mary right here in the middle. Anybody else need one of the new cards that's being passed out tonight? Good job, guys. Okay. What this card does is to help put some of the divided kingdom into perspective. Because as you are reading through the Old Testament about the divided kingdom, you've got a king in the north, you've got a king in the south, and then you've got prophets who come along, and sometimes it's difficult to figure out where do all of these guys fit in. And so what this card does, when you fold it out, and I know you have figured this out already, is it begins at the top of your fold with those dates for the general rough dates for King Saul, King David, King Solomon, 40 years apiece. And generally it is stated that they reigned for 40 years each, and those are rounded dates, understand that. But the death of Solomon and the division of the kingdom is generally put about 930 B.C., and so at 930 B.C. is where you have the top of this. And so on the left-hand side, you've got the northern kingdom. On the right-hand side, you've got the southern kingdom. And so on the northern, which one of them fell? Which one of them fell and went into captivity first? Northern kingdom. What nation did the northern kingdom fall to? Who took them captive? Assyria. About when? Now, as you go through this, you will note on this left-hand side, you've got 19 kings listed for the northern kingdom. How many of them were righteous? Zip. All right, so you got 19 kings listed. And then down there at the bottom, you've got the approximate date of 722 B.C. When the northern kingdom, and that's they're often called Samaria, and that's why it says fall of Samaria or Israel to Assyria, somewhere around 722, some might say 721 B.C. On the right-hand side, look directly across from that 722 B.C. box where it says the northern kingdom fell. Who was the king of the southern kingdom when that happened? Hezekiah. Do you see his name right out to the right of that fall box? Now, these lines don't necessarily line up exactly right, and so they're not all going to be lining up perfectly. But the man who was king of the southern kingdom when the northern kingdom fell was Hezekiah. If you flip that up, you're going to see the end. You go to the back side, you will see the remainder of the southern kingdom kings. How many of them were there total? 19. Approximately how many of them were righteous? About 4. And so you have those listed out for you. What you're going to see on this is some other information stating that sometimes you might see a date that's in parentheses. And what's noted about that date is that dates in parentheses indicate a period of what's called co-regency, which only means that sometimes the son became the king while the father was still alive and was still king, and so they kind of co-reigned together. And so the beginning of the son's date of reign would overlap with the father's date of reign. And so that's why some of the dates here are in parentheses. But what I find helpful on this particular chart is not only lining up when a northern kingdom was reigning and comparing him to when the southern king was reigning, but also to see where the prophets fit. What we're going to start doing next Sunday is we're going to give you a new card, a red card, 4 of them next Sunday, that go into the prophets, the major prophets and the minor prophets, the writing prophets. What I find helpful about this particular card is that this helps you to see where do those prophets fit. Isaiah and Jeremiah are right next to each other in the Bible, but guess what? They're not right next to each other in actual time of prophecy. And so I have found this to be helpful, and I know some of you that got this about 10 years ago have found this to be helpful to say, when does Isaiah fit? When does Hosea fit? Now, we don't know when they all fit exactly. We don't know specifically where Joel fits. And so we have some approximations about where he might fit, but we can't nail him down as one example of exactly where he fit. But for the most part, we can fit most of these prophets in. So you'll notice on the back side, there are some other key dates, and these dates are about the post-exilic period, the time after the exile. When did the southern kingdom finally fall? Is it listed on here? 586 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar first came against Jerusalem in 606 B.C. That's an important date to remember. Why? Because how long did Jeremiah say that they would be in captivity? 70 years. So if he first came against them in 606 B.C., took that first wave of captives away in 606 B.C., what's 70 years from 606? Good. 536 B.C. Some of you are good at math. Some of you are not. You were thinking in your head. So 536 B.C. is about the time that we read about many of the Jews, some of them going back to Jerusalem after that 70 years of captivity. So you have some dates here, and we'll talk more about these events when we get to the restoration period, when we get to the period of Zerubbabel leading a group back, when we read about Ezra leading a group back, when we read about Nehemiah leading a group back. It's interesting to me that when Babylon came and conquered the southern kingdom, they came and took captives in 3 different waves. They took some in 606 B.C., some in 597 B.C., some in 586 B.C. When the Jews went back into the promised land after the 70 years of captivity, it was 3 waves again: Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Did all of the Jews go back home after the 70 years of captivity? Some of them stayed in Babylon. Why in the world would they stay in Babylon? Why wouldn't they go back home? What's that? They'd been there 70 years. For some of them, they were born in Babylon. That's the only life they knew. That's where their family lived. And to pack grandma up and put her in the rocking chair on top of the station wagon and travel cross country, they said, that's just not safe for grandma. And so we're going to stay right here in Babylon and not leave. And so many of them did not go back home. So this card will be very helpful for you, not just in Soldiers of Christ, this card will be helpful for you in your own Bible study, just to be able to line up when did certain kings reign. How does that compare with the northern kingdom and southern kingdom? And especially, how do the prophets fit in? And not only when on the timeline do they fit in, but who did they prophesy to? Did Isaiah prophesy to the northern kingdom or to the southern kingdom? When we come and read about when we come and read about some of the minor prophets, and read about Micah or Amos, did he prophesy to the northern kingdom or to the southern kingdom? So this also places for you where and to what audience in general they were prophesying to. So that's your new card to put in your field manual tonight. We'll give you some red ones next week to add to that. But I want us to do a couple things before we finish up tonight. Dan did a good job last week of giving you kind of a skeleton outline of the divided kingdom period and gave you some things to kind of hang some dates on and to understand just the general flow of it. I want to go back and just add a couple pieces of meat to that outline that he gave, and then next week we're going to talk about prophets. Who were, now let me back up and ask this. This on your, if you've got your cards, if you've got your cards from last week, this will be on your prophet card. Who was the false god that Ahab brought into Israel? Do you know who that was? B-double-A-L. He brought Baal. Can you imagine he brought Baal into Israel for Israel to worship Baal as God? Was that a big deal? If you got your Bibles, I know you got your field manager looking at your prophet card, but get your Bibles for just a second and look in 1 Kings chapter 16. Get your Bibles. Got to do this quick because I have less than 10 minutes at this point. Look in 1 Kings chapter 16. Verse 30, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all of those who were before him. The end of verse 31 says, he went and served Baal and worshipped him. He went and worshipped Baal and served him. Would you hold your finger there and go to the very last verse of the book of 1 Kings? Find the very last verse of the book of 1 Kings. It's talking about Ahaziah, who was king of Israel. Also says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you're going to read that about every one of those 19 kings. Did evil in the sight of the Lord. What did he do in verse 53 of 1 Kings 22, the very last verse? Served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger according to all that his father had done. When Ahab introduces Baal worship in 1 Kings chapter 16, was it only going to affect those who were living in Ahab's day? Nope. They kept right on worshiping that false god. Does it have an impact when a church goes in a particular direction and makes a particular decision? Is that going to impact generations to come? Yeah. Did the division that we talked about a little while ago in the lesson, did that impact generations to come? Ahab introduces Baal. But then we read about, on your prophet card, we read about two oral prophets to Ahab in the northern kingdom. Who were they? Two oral prophets. No, they weren't writing prophets, but they're prophets of God. What were their names? Elijah and Elisha. Are those not two of your favorite Bible characters? Are not some of the best Bible stories about Elijah and Elisha? Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is 1 Kings chapter 18. Is one of your favorite stories? It is a cool Bible story. When Elijah goes and confronts King Ahab and confronts the prophets of Baal, do you remember what was it, and this is in verse 17 if you want to remember, what was it that Ahab called Elijah when they met? Troubler of Israel. That's a nice thing to say, right? I mean, you walk up to somebody, you meet him, hey, you troubler maker. Isn't that a nice thing to say? Now, let me ask you a question. Who was the troublemaker in Israel? Ahab. It wasn't Elijah. It's Ahab. He's the one who introduced Baal worship. And so he's the one who is the real troublemaker, but he turns the table on him and says, you're the troubler. Are there people in our country who are saying that Christians are troublemakers? Guess what? It's exactly the opposite. We learn that from 1 Kings chapter 18. Ahab tried to turn the tables on Elijah, and we've got to say, no, that's not the way it works. You do what God says, and you're not the troubler. It's those others who are troublemakers. Now, will preaching the gospel, will it cause trouble? In certain people's lives, it will, right? What was the accusation in Acts chapter 17 that the gospel had done, that the preachers that Paul had done? What had they done? They had turned the world what? Upside down. Was that a compliment? No, you're messing everything up. You keep preaching about Jesus and you're messing up our plans. Yep, we are. Because we're preaching about Jesus. We're not the troublers. As long as we stick with what God says, we're not the ones who are causing this problem. But as you look at 1 Kings chapter 18, there is a choice that has to be made. Look at verse 21. Elijah came to all the people. And what does he say to them in verse 21? How long will you falter between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, follow him. And if Baal is God, then follow him. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to choose who is God. Didn't Jesus say something similar to that? Did Jesus say no man can serve? What did he say? Two masters. You can't. What's the point of that? You got to choose. You can't serve two masters. You've got to choose. What did Joshua say about that? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you remember that occasion in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses is about ready to die and he says to Israel, I set before you this day life and death. What did he tell them to do? Choose life. But you got to make a choice. You got to decide who your God is. And that's what Elijah is saying to them, is you've got to choose who your God is. So Elijah goes up against the prophets of Baal, and on your priest card, it asks the question, the number of prophets of Baal killed by Elijah on Mount Carmel. How many prophets of Baal did he go up against? 450. Do you think he felt outnumbered? One against 450. All by himself. And yet those 450 prophets could not hold a candle to this true prophet of God. And so you remember what Elijah does. Elijah says, okay, it's just me, and there's 450 of you. So here's the deal. Let's figure out who the real God is. You all bring two what? Two bulls. Thank you. Bring two bulls. Was Elijah going to bring a bull? Apparently not. He says, there's 450 of you. There's only one of me. You all bring two bulls. Bring two bulls. I'll take one. You take one. What are we going to do? We're going to set that bull up on an altar. We're going to call upon our God, and whoever's God brings down fire from heaven upon that bull and consumes it, what's the answer? That's the true God. Isn't it one of your favorite stories to read about the prophets of Baal? Isn't it awesome to read about the prophets of Baal? Where think about the confidence that Elijah has. He says, all right, guys, it's no doubt God told Elijah to do this, but it's like he's making this up. To the prophets of Baal, it's got to feel like he's making this up. All right. You get a bull, I'll get a bull. We'll put it up on an altar. Whoever brings out fire, boom, that's the real God. And the prophets of Baal like, oh, okay, sure, we'll do this. How did it work out for them? Put it up there, did their chants, did their dances. How long did they do that? For a couple minutes? All day. It's fun to read the chapter where it says they got to midday, and their God, not a peep, was heard. And so at midday, what did Elijah say? Hey, guys. I don't think your God can hear you. I think you need to shout a little bit louder. And maybe he's busy. Maybe he's on a vacation. Some have indicated, well, maybe he's, you know, kind of occupied otherwise, you know, and you need to shout a little bit louder for him. Elijah's enjoying the show. And so they begin to take their knives and to cut themselves and to tear their clothes, as was their custom. And it says they did that all the way up until the evening sacrifice. Can you imagine watching this? I mean, Elijah's just sitting back in there popping popcorn, you know, and just okay, you all. Because what did Elijah know? No fire's coming down. He knew. Did he know that? He knew without a doubt. He could go and do whatever he wanted and come back and know no fire's coming down. Why? Because Baal is not God. What did Elijah do? Time of the evening sacrifice. Takes how many stones? 12. Good, you know the story. 12 stones, stacks them up, lays the wood on top, puts the bull on top of there, and he says, you know what? I need some pots of water. How many pots were there? You remember how many pots there were? Three pots. He's going to teach next week. Three pots of water, fill them up, and do what? What did they dig around the altar? A trench. You pour three pots of water onto this bull, and where's the water going to go? Into the trench. So they dumped three pots, and then what did he say? Go do it again. Great. What did he say? Go do it again. Wonderful. What did he say? Go do it again. Fantastic. this thing is totally drenched. There's water all over the place. And Elijah prays one of the longest prayers in all of the Bible, right? No, it's like two sentences. He prays to the one true and living God. And what does that one true and living God do? Sends that. This is on your prophet card. We'll finish with this. This is on your prophet card. Consumed Elijah's sacrifice, wood, stones, dust, and water. What happened? Fire came down. One of my favorite expressions is, what did the water do? What did the fire do to the water? Licked it up. It's just, isn't that graphic? That the fire from heaven even went and licked up the water. And can you see what? Can you see fire from God licking up the water that's in the trench? Who's in charge? God. Baal? No. Baal's a nothing. There is one true God. And how did Elijah start this? He said, you got to make a choice. You going to serve the real God? Or are you going to serve some fake God? Guess what we've got to do today? Make a choice. Elijah knew no fire is coming down from Baal. Elijah knew fire will come down from the true and living God. Do we have confidence in our God that He is the one true and living God? Elijah did. So much so that he had prayed 3.5 years earlier and it stopped rain, and you get to the end of this chapter and he prays again and rain comes. He had confidence and trust in his God. We've got a youth and family singing that's going to start in the family room in 2.5 minutes. We invite you to join us. Thank you all very much for your good attention tonight.